Good morning. Welcome to Newbury Baptist Church. My name is Carl and I'm one of the people who worship here. Lovely to see you all. Before we start, just to pray for Richard before we start. Dear Lord, we thank you for Richard on this lovely day. And we thank you that you've brought him here to serve this church for us today. Lord, speak to him, speak through him, and tell him what you want him to say to us today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, Carl. It really is lovely to see all of you this morning. Would you come and join us perhaps tonight at St Nick's Church? We're asking Christians from across the town to come and gather together to pray for the town. That's at 6 o'clock this evening at St Nick's. It would be great to see you there. Please pray for the light party on Wednesday night. We've got 63 children registered, 30 adults helping. It's going to be a busy night. Please do pray for that. Please pray for Gillian Humphreys' funeral tomorrow morning at the Thatcham Crematorium. That's at 10:30. If you're not able to be there, perhaps you could pray for it. I would value that hugely. Thank you very much. Tomorrow we have the fourth in our five sessions on the evangelism course, Evangelism for the Reluctant, and that's at 1:30 tomorrow afternoon and then at 7:45 in the evening, and you would be welcome at either of those. And the other thing to say, people on the radio are now mentioning the C word, as in Christmas, so I will mention it. Next week, Rowena needs to talk to us about Christmas Day. We really need some help on that day for the CTNA work that's happening. But she'll tell you all about that on that occasion. Listen to this wonderful description of Jesus. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets many times and in different ways, but in these last days, he spoke to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the universe. Here it comes, a description of Jesus. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Let's stand and worship him together. Jesus is Lord.
Thank you.
Let's just pray together. Father, thank you for every sign that you have left of your great power at work in the world. Thank you, Father, for every promise which reminds us how much you love us. Father, thank you right now for the promise of your presence with us whenever we worship you. Make us truly aware of it today, we pray. Amen. Amen. Do please sit down. And if you want to come and see what's in the box, then come and have a look. Are we all there? Let's have a look and see. Coins! Absolutely. Now, I want to tell you a story. No, don't leave even left a minute, because I need to tell you a story about a person who had lots and lots of coins. He was a very, very rich man, and he had lots of servants, and they all did different things for him. But one day, he was going to go away. And so he said, well, before I go away, I'm going to give some of you a job to do. Now, can you hold out a hand for me? Just hold out one hand, and I'm going to put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 coins in that hand. Now, don't go, just hold them tight. You can send you on a job in a minute. And then he picked somebody else. Here we are. Now he put 1, 2, you've got a big hand. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Hold those tight. Don't go anywhere right now, okay? And then to one other, he gave 1. You hold that tight. Now, once he'd done that, he said, right, I'm going away and I want you to look after what I've given you. So the person with the 5 coins, person with the 5 coins went off with them. See if you can see someone holding up a sign saying, oh, look, someone down there, he's got something for you. Go down there and see what Calvin's got for you.
5.
And we had another 5 coins. And so another person with 10 coins. Can you see someone holding up a 10? Look, go over, off you go over there. Brilliant. And the person with 1 coin, well, that person was a bit frightened, and they went and hid the coin. Can you go and hide it somewhere? Just doesn't matter where. Somewhere that not everybody would find. Oh, well, that's good, yeah? And then many, many months later, the man came back. And to the person with 5 coins, he said, show me what you've got there. And he said, well, there's 5 coins, and you've made another 5. Well done, he said, and shook his hand. You've done a good job. And then the one who'd got 10 coins, let's have a look. He said, look, you've got 10 coins. You've made another 10. Well done, he said. Good job. And he went to the one who'd had the 1 coin. He said, what did you do? What did you do with your coin? You hid it. He was a bit. Do you want to hold that for me? He was a bit disappointed about that. I'm just going to shut this lid down for a minute. Look. And Jesus said, "Look, I give all of you some things you're good at. A bit like that person giving the money. He said, I'll give you things you're good at, and what you've got to do is make the most of them. He said, don't just hide them away. Make the most of them. He said, be like the one who had 5 and made another 5 more." Be like the one who had 10. I made 10 more. He said, whatever you're good at, you make the absolute most of it for me. Now, it might be that you're good at singing. It might be, oh, thank you. It might be that you're good at encouraging other people.
No.
No? I bet you are.
No.
No? Okay. But you've all got something you're good at. Or it might be you're really good at praying. So that whatever it is, you're really good at football. Well, I hope you make the most of it. I'm getting the whole story here, everybody. Listen. Listen. Whatever it is you're good at, God says, you make sure you do it the best you can, but he says, whatever those gifts are, I can use them. Let's go back to our seats. We're going to sing together now. Where's my other envelope gone? Wonderful. Thank you. Let's stand up and sing together.
Oh,
please sit down. Perhaps those who are going out to their different groups would like to make your way there now. I'd have a quick word with you about this. If you buy something, whether it's a house or a gas boiler or a car, whatever it is, you can buy a service plan, you know, and you can get your kind of bog standard one and they'll come out if it's absolutely necessary. Or you can get, you know, the silver one that perhaps it's a bit more to it, or you get a gold standard one and, you know, they'll come out at the drop of a hat. And you pay your money and takes your choice, basically. You know, what you pay for is what you get. You'll be aware that over the first 3 weeks in October, we put out an announcement asking for people to serve the church as deacons. And nobody came forward. Nobody offered to do that. Nobody felt it was the right thing to do at the moment. And there will be all kinds of reasons for that. I know that. People's lives are busy and they're complicated. There'll be all kinds of reasons why people did not step up. But a bit like the service plan, you get what you pay for. And, you know, if we have a smaller diaconate at the moment, then we will be able to do fewer things. That's the bottom line. You know, we're standing on the brink of one of the busiest seasons in this church's history, throughout its history, with the redevelopment on the cards and things about to happen. We're at a moment when there is a huge demand of our deacons. So if we have a smaller number of them, we'll function, but we won't be able to innovate quite as much. We won't be able to tackle as many new things. We'll be able to keep the show going, but there are things we won't be able to embrace which are new. And like with the service plan, you pay your money and takes your choice. If that's where we're at the moment, then we simply need to accept that there are some things we won't be able to do. And we'll see what those are as time goes by. We will be coming back again in March and saying, look, you know, that's a few months down the line. Are there those now who feel that they're able to serve? The answer may be the same as it is now. It may be different. I'm just giving you a little flag up, really, that will come back around again in March of next year. But do pray for the existing, in fact, we'll do that now, but we need to pray for the existing deacons. They do work incredibly hard, and it's a small number of them at the moment. And that's okay, but it means that we can't do quite as much as we would otherwise have done with a bigger team. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the men and women who serve us as deacons. Thank you for the time and the insight and the wisdom that they bring to that role. Father, thank you that they do it out of love for you and love for your church. And at this moment, Father, at this juncture, we pray simply that when the time comes, you would provide what we need. Father, we look to you and we ask for your faithful provision when the time is right. In Jesus' name. Amen. He does provide, and he is faithful. Let's stand and sing together. Father, we simply do not have the words to describe your great faithfulness to us, stretching down the generations from the beginning of all things to beyond the end of all things. Father, for this faithfulness, we thank you. We ask you to take these gifts and to make them grow in your service. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for each new day. We thank you you are a God who is everywhere. You have your hand on us wherever we go, and that you are empowering your people and your church to share your message of grace across the world. We thank you for the freedom that we live within. Despite the political turmoil over Brexit and the unsettling times, we are blessed to live in a country where so many freedoms are protected in law and upheld by those who rule our country. We pray that freedom of speech and expression about our faith will be protected in a world where we increasingly hold minority views. We pray for those who are not protected by their leaders. We pray for the family of Jamal Khashoggi, the journalist who died in Saudi Arabia under such appalling circumstances. We pray that his family will somehow find truth and justice. We pray for those living in regimes that should be protecting them, where the letter of the law is followed and the spirit of the law, compassion for those in need, protection for those at risk, is being ignored. We think of America at this time, where decisions made and words spoken jar with the democracy that nation has upheld. We pray for those who are oppressed, who we don't see. There have been so many stories in the press about modern slavery. Pray help us notice those people we meet in our own community who are working or living in situations where their freedom has been taken away by others. Finally, we pray for those Christians who are persecuted for their faith. We thank you for organisations like Open Doors who help practically and equip us to pray for the persecuted church. We pray particularly this month for their focus country, India, for those displaced by floods, for those expelled from their homes for their faith, for the 24,000 people attacked because of their faith last year. Lift them all before you, strengthen them, and may their strong faith be a witness to others. Father, we thank you for the freedom we have to come together to worship you. This week, we pray particularly for the light parties that will be taking place at St. Nick's, Glendale Church, and here at NBC as an alternative celebration to Halloween. We pray they will run smoothly and that the events will be full of joy. We thank you for those supporting the events. We pray for the children and parents attending that they will see the great strength that light has over darkness. We pray for those out trick-or-treating, that children will be kept safe, and that those who are frightened by Halloween will be given your peace. We thank you that we can come together to learn about you. Help us to appreciate the value of meeting together. We thank you for Richard, how he serves us as a church, and we pray for him as he brings your word today, that we will all take something away with us today that will equip us to serve you better. In your name, amen.
Our reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 5, reading from verse 33, and I'm reading from the New International Version. The apostles have been speaking out the message about Jesus Christ, and the Sanhedrin have advised them not to do this, but they have carried on, so they've been dragged in front of the Pharisees. Starting to read from verse 33. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin. Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed. All his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God.
Let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you for your willingness to speak to people like us. And we pray that we might hear from you now. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to come back to talk about Gamaliel in a moment or two. But first of all, I want to tell you about a boy and a girl and 1.5 million strangers. Let me tell you about the boy, first of all. He was born just up the road from here in Tilehurst on the edge of Reading. Never went to church, and the only Bible he owned was this one, the Bible for Boys and Girls, to Richard on the occasion of his christening, October 1965. 12 years later, he was given another Bible, first year at secondary school, a little Gideon Bible, didn't know what to do with it. Went to the Christian Union school, found out a little bit of what to do with it, went to Crusaders at a local church, found out who Jesus was and what he required of him, came to faith, got baptized, went on to study for a theology degree in St. Andrews, then went on to become a minister. And then there was the girl. A girl born in Crosby, brought up in a vaguely churchy environment, singing in some cathedral choirs as a schoolgirl, and then going on to study English literature at St. Andrews University. And arriving there with a sharp mind and a keen intellect and a whole heap of questions and wanting to know about these things. And at that point, she met Gamaliel, just as you have met him this morning, and heard his words about if this thing is of God, it will endure. She wrote about him in her testimony. I've got it here, her handwritten baptismal testimony. It is recorded in the Acts of the Apostles that a wise man once advised the Sanhedrin not to persecute the Christians as they could find themselves fighting with God. The centuries have proved that the disciples' purpose was from God. And I certainly am convinced that Jesus is both Messiah and Lord, and pledge my life in love and service to him here. Now. And then the man with the Bible and the Bible lost the girl with the testimony, gone from sight, if not from heart. And then he went on to talk on national radio about love and loss and God and the strange landscape of grief, and that's where the 1.5 million come in. And I want you to hear just some of their voices right now.
Here's one writing. As a rostered worship leader and reader in the city of Perth in Western Australia, and as a widow, I, like you, have discovered God's good grace and mercy. Another one writes, your words filled me with realistic hope for what I know soon lies ahead of me. Another one writes, I've been married to Naomi for 55 years. She's still with me, but she's cared for in a home where she lives in the dark valley of Alzheimer's disease. So I've lost her. Much of what you said this morning resonated powerfully with me, particularly when it comes to my faith in God, which sustains me daily in the shadow where he's always present. Writes another one, it's 48 hours since a dear friend lost his battle with cancer, and your broadcast this morning was a timely gift from God. Another, my wife Mary and I would listen to the 8 a.m. news on Radio 4 on Sunday mornings and then reach for the off button before the God-bothering bit. Just 3 weeks ago, my wife of 39 years died in my arms. This morning, the radio stayed on. What a really uplifting program, writes one. It came at the right time as my beloved husband died 3 days ago. I've only just begun my journey to the land of grief. I believe that grief is the price of love. And one last one. I was just on the phone to the co-op to see why my credit card wasn't working. And while waiting, I flicked the radio on to Sunday worship. I attended, I drank in, I wept, and I allowed your words to enter my soul. To read these things from complete strangers, and others too that I haven't got time to read out now, from New Zealand, from Sierra Leone, from the Outer Hebrides, from all kinds of different people, to read these things is to see that God is alive and well and reaching out to touch the lives of people who have deep faith and no faith. And Gamaliel's words ring true. When that story occurred that Paul read to us just now in Acts, the disciples of Jesus were charged with telling the world all about him and were making a thorough nuisance of themselves. They spoke up and they got shut down. They spoke up again and they got shut down again. They got thrown into prison and the angel let them out. The authorities found themselves with egg on their faces and not knowing what to do about them. They could just keep on arresting them and arresting and arresting them. But was that going to be the right thing to do? However, could they stop them? At which point? Enter Gamaliel, whom you've heard from this morning, who was known at the time as a voice of reason. He was the kind of the reasonable end of the Jewish authority spectrum. At which point he steps up and says, what to do with them? Nothing, he says. Don't bother. He says, if it's nothing, it'll just fizzle out. Chapter 5 and verse 38. He says, you know, if this is not of God, then it will simply fail. But he says, if it is God, and you'll stand opposed to it, then you will make fools of yourselves. Verse 39, if this is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. All that said within 50 years, perhaps, of Jesus living, dying, rising again. And that sensible voice speaks up and says, look, if this is what it claims to be, if this is the power of God at work, then it will endure. And 21 centuries later, the words of Gamaliel stand etched over the gateway to the Christian church of every description. If this thing of God is of God, it will still keep going. And, you know, it's full of mistakes, and sometimes it's all but obscured by the accretions that we've allowed to come into the Christian church, and it's hidden away by the overcomplications that we seem to love to do, and the historical record of the church is far from pure and clean, and yet, on an ordinary Sunday, in an ordinary home, or in a car, or on a trawler, or wherever it was, God is still connecting with people and bringing them hope and comfort and the taste of his presence. And so those words linger on through the centuries. Today, we can say with Paul, who of course lost every shred of dignity and status and honour for the sake of the gospel, we can say with him, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. And I've been seeing that again and again this week. I've been seeing that when God speaks and people hear, something happens in their lives. And the ones who say, I have no space for God, the ones who say, look, I don't do the whole God thing, suddenly find that in their moment of need, he's making some kind of sense to them. You know, I want to assure you that no matter how faltering your attempts may be to share the gospel, I want to assure you that no matter how many false starts you feel you've had, where you felt you tried to be an advert for your faith and instead you ended up undermining it, no matter how unconvinced you are of the power of your own words, God is at work. And there's no reason to be ashamed of the gospel. Because when God speaks, things happen. And it's nothing to do with you. I was a wreck last Saturday evening when I heard that program in advance. I got sent a preview. And it had me in pieces. And the one saving grace, and I wrote to a few friends at the time, I said, look, you know, please, God, the only thing that will make this worth it is if God uses it. The only thing that will make it worth it is if God somehow connects with people through this. Well, and you've heard what people have had to say. Gamaliel's words ring true. If it's not of God, it'll run into the sand. If it is of him, well then it will abide. Verse 38, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone, let them go. If their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, then you will not be able to stop them. And you'll simply find yourselves fighting against him. And there stands that glowing testimony that God is still at work. And it is still going on. And the kingdom is still growing. And despite all the things to the contrary, somehow when the voice of God is heard, people connect with it. You know, God has a brilliant track record when it comes to responding to people who have honest questions. You know, God has that whole long saga with Job, doesn't he? Where Job loses everything and, well, except sadly he doesn't quite lose his mates who have nothing helpful whatsoever to say. You know, so he's stuck with them. And towards the end of it, God says the most dignified thing he can possibly say to this wreck of a human being. He says, Job, look me in the eye and we'll talk together. God never shies away from those conversations. Or God takes a passionate, foolish, temperamental, moody person like David and says, now there's a bloke I can get on with. Well, being God, he says, he's a man after my own heart, but you get the gist. Or God issues a challenge through Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 55. He says, look, you want to find me? Come look for me, he says. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Come, you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk. Come and give ear and come to me. Listen that you might live. God never shies away from the person who is genuinely looking for him. You know, Gamaliel stands up and he says, look, if this thing of God then is of God, then let's wait and see, shall we? And we do wait and see. And we see that indeed it is. I love the fact that just about the last gasp of Scripture, just about the last gasp, it's on the last, you know, half page, God is still saying, come. Lamb and the Spirit say, come. The voice of the church says, come. Come to me before it's too late. Listen, if the person you've been praying for as we've gone through these Sunday mornings together and we've gone through that evangelism course together. If the person you have been praying for is seeking God, If they bring the same attitude to that quest that Gamaliel is bringing here, where he's saying, look, I want to know and I want to see, and if it's true, then I want to know that. If that is happening, then no matter how impossible it seems to you, that person will find him. No matter how improbable that seems right now. But if in their heart there is a genuine desire to find out whether God is for real or not, then that genuine desire will never, ever be turned away by God. Do you believe that? I hope you do. And friends, remember that the good news is good news. And that actually people want it far more than you realize they want it. God is alive and well and will be found by those who seek him. Sometimes because of us and sometimes despite us. Can I just ask you to trust him with that? Trust God to do that, even as God trusts you with his gospel, which is the most precious thing he has. He allows you to take it in your hands and hearts. I think the least that we can do is to trust him with it, that he will find those people, and that the one who is honestly looking for him will find him, no matter how long it takes. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you are still looking for the lost ones. Thank you, Father, that you're still looking for the sheep that got away. You're still looking for the one who knows that they want you but does not know your name. Father, for those people who are deeply embedded on our hearts this morning, looking for you without even realizing it, we pray this morning. Bring them home in your good time, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up, sing this wonderful gospel hymn together, Tell Out My Soul. And now we ask the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit might be upon us all and all God's children throughout the whole world. Amen.